second installment of Be'ezras Hashem many in Hilchos Shabbos, and we're up to the Ramah in Siman Reish Mem Beis on page 4 about the mitzvahs of Kavod and Onig Shabbos. The Ramah says, Nogin lolosh kedei shir chal be'bayis lasas behem mehem lichomim livtzo aleim b'Shabbos v'yamtiv. The custom is to knead the amount of the shir chala in one's home to make challah for Shabbos and Yom Tov, v'hu mikvod Shabbos v'Yom Tov, and that's based on Shabbos on kavod of Shabbos v'Yom Tov ein l'shanos. Now it's interesting. There must be something more than it simply being kvod Shabbos v'Yom Tov, because the emphasis over here, quoting from the Mardechi, is that to need the amount of the shir challah. By the way, the shir challah is 43 beitzim, and the way to remember that is, as happens to be, the gematria of the word challah itself, to be chayv, and afrashas challah medaraisa, it is, that's 43 beitzim. So, there is a custom, therefore, to be mafresh challah, specifically on Erev Shabbos. So here in Eretz Yisrael, they often have these very big hafrashot challah on a Thursday night. So whether it's appropriate to do it on Thursday night or do it Friday morning would depend on last time shir. Whether the mitzvah of kvod Shabbos begins on Thursday night or it begins on Friday morning. So this is mikvod Shabbos v'yom tov. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Vav, kidei shir chayla haynu milvad shalisha v'afiyahu miklal kvod Shabbos v'yom tov. As we pointed out, it's not just making challah on Shabbos and yom tov, but aside from having bread for Shabbos Yom Tov, much besides himself, if Od Yesh Basa Tam Kedei L'Kayim Mitzvah Schala, L'Fi She'ivdas Adam Arishon Shayechaloso Shel Olam Shenivra Be'erev Shabbos. It's a very interesting expression. Here the Mishnah Berurah describes, I looked around, I didn't really see anybody who elaborates where this expression comes from. I'm sure it's based on Mamore Chazal, that Adam Arishon is referred to as Chaloso Shel Olam. And Adam Arishon did not live up his potential on Erev Shabbos. So there's an inyan to be masaking that with the shir. So the idea of Hafrash Eschal being a tikkun and some type of process of tshuva goes back to this idea. Presumably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned Adam HaRishon from the earth, which is that we have that expression, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned him from mud, which is like the Isa. So we have this concept, particularly on Erev Shabbos, and the Ramah concludes ve'ein l'shanos, and one should not change. So now the question becomes: when we say ve'ein l'shanos, so what about today? Does that mean that there is an inyan for our wives, or for that? By the way, there's no mitzvah that says that. Particularly that men can't make challah, if that matter, be mafresh challah. Although there are definitely connections between the feminine side and hafrashas challah, that one of the things that the Mishnah says, that a woman would die in childbirth, chas v'chalil. So there is a connection, but of course it's not only in regards to women, it would apply to men as well. What about today? Bizman hazeh. So Dirshu Mishnah Berurah says, has a justification from, again, Rabbi Tzion Abba Shol, quotes the Arlo Tzion, says, v'dafka bizmanom, she'yofen b'mafia lechel m'shabes kamo liyom chol. So then it won't apply. Particularly, the Mishnah Berurah is very, very sharp, because the Mishnah Berurah says at the end of Dibur HaMaschil, where does he say it? In the Be'er Halacha, that's where he says it. In V'hu Michvot Shabbos, he concludes, we'll go backwards through that Be'er Halacha. In Dibur HaMaschil Michvot Shabbos, he concludes, Ba'avein Noseinu Arabim, Hayom Eschilu Eiz Anoshim L'Hashbos HaMinig Ahu V'lochem Min Ha'ofeh. That there are those who go buy from the baker, V'lav Shaper Avdi. D'maktinen Bazek Kvot Shabbos. So they're diminishing Kvot Shabbos. That's what the Be'er Halacha says. So says the Rebbe Tzion Abba Shol, that's not correct today, because that was in those days that they didn't have special challahs that were made for Shabbos, our like braided challahs. But today it would be different. The only ha'ara would be is that with Rabbi Tzion Abba Shol's point, that doesn't take away the reality that they would still are not being the kind of the mitzvahs challah on Erev Shabbos. That hasn't been solved. So there's definitely an inyan if one can, to bake challis for Shabbos. It was asked of Rav Yosha, the Dershu also quotes that if someone enjoys the challah from a baker better than their own challah baking, so could you buy from the bakery? And he said yes, since the makar of the halacha is klot Shabbos, so in such a case it would be permissible. The Ber Halacha, I said we were going to go backwards in the Ber Halacha. And Dibur Masmul Hu Chvod Shabbos, the Ber Halacha says that there's actually a remez to it from the pasuk itself. Vahaya Bayom Hashishi Vechinu Es Asher Yaviu Es Asher Tofu Efu. So the pasuk there describes that you're supposed to prepare before Shabbos and says Asher Tofu Efu. So part of preparation is the baking of Shabbos. That is where what the Hafrosh Eschala might come together with Shabbos itself. Mishnah Brura in the first wide line says Va'ain Bachrom Dafilu Anogim Lechol Pas Palter She'ena Yehudi Bichol Mikom Alkom B'Shabbos V'Yamtiv Nachal Nizar Shalol Lechol Ki Imi Pas Yisrael Mepnei Kvod Shabbos V'Yamtiv. So this is a very, very interesting phenomenon in where Kvod Shabbos V'Kvod Yamtiv is not only good tasting food and so on and so forth. Rav Dani spoke about maybe even Shabbos party v'chule, but now it's no longer the quality of food, but even the quality of Shmiras HaAlacha vis-a-vis the food. We know that in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that once upon a time it was mamish aser to eat bread that was baked by any Gentile. And then we had a heter called pas palter, which of course you know that in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the Rama says it's kedai not to have pas palter of an akum. There's less of a chash chasnus that the Gemara was concerned about in its time. Nevertheless, lichatchila, the shach, in Yoredeya, Rav Nevensal makes reference to this in Kufyed Beis, if Katan Tess comes out that it's roi to be machmir, not to eat pas akum, even b'chol. And so therefore here we have this unique interface between chumrah and kvod Shabbos and kvod Yomtiv, that the chumrah of not eating pas palter applies in Shabbos and Yomtiv itself. I would like to point out that that sounds pretty easy to us, right? Yeah, we generally don't buy challahs from, in my days it was Walbaum's, although Walbaum's was Jewish, but the most of the products of course were not. So, but it does come up, because pas palter is not only in regards to challah, it's in regards to cereal, it's in regards to pretzels, it's in regards to everything. So here this is an interesting discussion that the Mishnah Brura sort of raises, again, where he says, "Dafilu nogim lechol pas palter she'ena yehudi b'chol makom makom b'shabbos v'yamtiv nachal nizar shelo lachol," because that would be a case of another form of kvod Shabbos and kvod yamtiv. Rav Nevensal Shlita adds, he himself has many reasons that one should be machmir in general for pas Yisrael. He points out that the shach holds that really the heter of pas palter is one that one should not rely on, as well as he, Rav Nevensal argues, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, this is an issue. In fact, and whether Zochet learned, people who might be listening don't experience this, who are sort of in a machsan type of area, and as we're sitting and learning, there are bugs right now. You can see a bug walking on the table itself. So here in Eretz Yisrael, bugs are much more common, and they're also much more common in our flour as well. And so there is a real chash. If it's not made under Jewish auspices that don't have that sensitivity, so then there's a concern that they won't sift the flour appropriately. Also, Rav Nevensal points out that in many instances where it seems to be kosher, sometimes the oven was previously used for macholos asuros, as well as it's quite common that erroneously oils that are not kosher be used. So for all those reasons, Rav Nevensal is into the idea of being careful about Pas Yisrael. Okay, this concludes Simon Reish Mem Beis. Let's begin Reish Mem Gimel. Dina Maskir Sado Merchatz Le'ena Yehudi. Today we'll go a little bit longer. I hope it's okay, because these halachos, to do them well, we have to go methodically. As the Mishnah Brura is going to develop, there are a few issues that are at play in regards to having, as you all know, there are many, many shaylos in Hilchos Shabbos, having a goy doing melacha for you, passing your business over to a Gentile, and we're going to have to go slowly, make shlav el shlav el shlav, through these halachos. One thing to keep in mind is the Mishnah Brura often doesn't, particularly the Shulchan Aruch, does not go keseder halachos. Doesn't build, the Shulchan Aruch is not a good sefer if you want to learn, have a structural presentation of the halacha. Shulchan Aruch goes according to the Seder of the day. Therefore, you don't have a good, what we would call conceptual introduction to the halachas. So that's a reality, a challenge when learning Shulchan Aruch, is that Shulchan Aruch doesn't teach in that type of manner. The Mishnah Brura over here also doesn't give us a full picture over here of what is going on. There are a few issues that one, when it comes to one's business and a Gentile. Issue number one is that we know that's aser for a Gentile to do malacha on behalf of a Jew on Shabbos. There's another issue, and that is an issue of maris ayin, that there's a prohibition of maris ayin. And then there's a third issue. The third issue is, even if it's not shlichus, and even if it's not a problem of maris ayin, that at the end of the day, a Jew can't be marviach for malacha that a goy did on his behalf, even if he wasn't his shliach. Remember these three categories. Maris ayin, shlichus, and then there is an isser of harvacha from malacha that was done on Shabbos by a Gentile on behalf of the Jew. So these are three important categories. With that introduction, we'll go to the Mishnah Brura's introduction. Okay, so let's take a look at the Mishnah Brura's introduction. Lo yaskir da shishlosha chilukim. Now we're gonna, with the Mishnah Brura is introducing is something else, and that is three different types of business relationships with a Gentile, which will encounter different types of shilas. Okay, that's how the Mishnah Brura introduces. Because what we're going to discuss is a few different types of business relationships. Dash shlosha chilukim yesh. Echad hu arisus shesocher lein yehudi shiyasa malacha besado bemerchatz varvach mo aperos yachlok. Number one is a relationship of arisus, a sharecropper, that he hires a Gentile to do malacha on his field, and the profits will be divided. That's called arisus. Hasheni hu schirus. The second is to rent out. What do we rent out? The Gentile rents out his labor to the Jew. She'on eina Yehudi notel kol aravachim o aperos v'nosin liyisrael avur sadeu merchatzov dover. Excuse me, I said that. Let's erase that. Let's start again. Hasheni hu schirus. I didn't say anything yet of what schirus is. Schirus she'eina Yehudi notel kol aravachim o aperos. The Gentile uses the Jew's land, and he pays him rent. He's simply a renter. So that's case number two. So if it's a field, says the Mishnah Brura, then it's permissible. It's permissible to have an abrisus relationship, where the guy, we're going to have to discuss why, that's going to take us another 7-8 minutes to get to why, but where the guy is giving part of his profits to the Jew, that's permissible. And two is, if he's renting out, so then in such a case also permissible. Why? Because when it comes to schirus, there the guy is not doing any malacha for the Jew on Shabbos. He's a renter. The Jew, he rents the sadeh for the entire year. So there's no reason to prohibit it. We're not talking about a case where he's renting a dafka for that Shabbos, which would be a separate issue. Okay. Continues the Mishnah Brura. So if it's a field, it'll be entirely mutter. Ubemerchatz rak medina deina yehudi adaita nafshe avid. On a merchatz, it would also be mutter because the guy is working on his own behalf. What does it mean he's working on his own behalf? So we're going to see later on that at the end of the day, the guy could choose any day he wants to work. If he chooses to work on Shabbos, and that's when the profits are coming in, that's called adaita nafshe avid. And remember, issue number three that we mentioned of getting profits from a guy's work on Shabbos, that's not going to be a problem because the guy decided to work on Shabbos. He could have just as well chosen to use it on Sunday or on Monday. We'll elaborate on that down the line. But the merchatz is also because of marisayin, mipnei denikros al shemo, because it's referred to as the Jews. And that will come to chash that he's done doing it b'shlichus. But and then there's a third category. So we have arisus, schirus, and then the third duhu kablanus. The hainu shiu kol aravachim liyisrael. So this is a case where the guy is a kablon, that means that the guy works on behalf of the Jew, so then it's vadei aser medina b'merchatz, that would certainly be aser, da'ave eni yudi shlucho shel Yisrael. So that falls into the category of shlichus. V'Yisrael nene mimalacha b'shabbos, and the Yisrael is being nene mimalacha b'shabbos. So those are the three categories that we have over here. Number one, we have a case of kablonis working backwards. Kablonis, which is entirely aser. Merchatz, where you have adaita denafshe the ovid, which we need to elaborate on that cloud. We haven't explained the parameters entirely of adaita denafshe ovid. You have the case of merchatz. And then you have schirus, which is going to be, arisus. So then the arisus is mutter, as we described before. And schirus, if it's being done entirely on the guy's initiative, and at the end of the day, the Jew is not getting any hana, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. It's going to be mutter. However, there is a chash and marasayin when it comes to the merchatz. Hence, we're ready for the Shulchan Aruch. Lo yaskir adam merchatz shalol eini yehudi, b'vnei shenikra al shmoi, ve'eini yehudi zeh oisa b'ay melacha m'shabes. So the reason why it's prohibited to rent out your merchatz, where really, renting out should be mutter, as we spoke about in the field. Nevertheless, since it's attributed to the Jew, so then it's a problem of marasayin. Why is it not a problem of the guy doing work on behalf of the Jew, which we mentioned is what we called issue number three of being marviach for melacha that the guy does on behalf of a Jew? The stam merchatz lav la risaso avid. Generally, the merchatz is not done la risus, and therefore there is going to be a problem of marisayin. The amri shekol arevach shel Yisrael. The sachar is in Yehudi bekach lekach liyom. The nimtze shein Yehudi osam melach b'shulchus of Yisrael. So if you have this problem, a Maris sign said it's going to appear that he's doing on behalf of the Jew. I will sada mutter, but by sada it's mutter, she came derech lekabel sada barisus. Va'avol bishyon mishol Yisrael, omrim ha'ini Yehudi lacha barisus alatzim wavitz. That answers the open question that I left before. Why is it going to be permissible when it comes to arisus? Because at the end of the day, everybody knows, despite the fact that it belongs to Yisrael, that the Eina Yehudi is doing it for himself. Ula atzma hu ovid, he is ovid, he is doing everything for his own particular interest. So therefore, by a sada, arisus is entirely permissible. What about other instances? V'tanur, if he rents out the tanur, dirgo kemerchatz, that's attributed to the Yisrael, and we don't necessarily think that he's doing it with an arisus relationship, and therefore it's also marat zayin. Even if he does it with arisus, rechaim dinam kisada, and rechaim is dinam kisada. Now the Ramah asks a very basic question on these halachos. The Ramah asks, but wait a second, why do you say adaita denafshe ovid when it comes to arisus? At the end of the day, what is a sharecropper? A sharecropper is that I have a field. I say to the sharecropper, I'm willing to share with you. I have no time to work on this field. You work on the field, you get 50%, and I'll get the other 50%. So the sharecropper is working for me as well. So asks the Ramah, I hear the Jew got off better. Here he gets off with 66%, 75%. So even though the guy is only getting a small amount, the Yesh Yisrael Hana b'mashe einu Yehudi oved b'shabbos, shari, the einu Yehudi adaita dinafshe oved. So here we have this term, d'adaita d'nafshe ovid. What does that mean? The guy, at the end of the day, he got the field of arisus for the whole year. So whether he works on Shabbos or whether he works on Sunday, that's his decision. He has to make a cheshbon. I recall correctly, on Shabbos is college football. Sunday is the NFL. So he's going to decide what he wants to watch, which day he's not going to work. If he's going to watch college, or he's going to watch the pros. So at the end of the day, the guy chooses for himself. That's the pshat ein Yehudi adaita d'nafshe ovid. So Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot and Yud that this will only be talking about an item where you only work it a certain amount of time. You can't work it more than, let's say, 3 days in a week. Even if you're going to work it 7 days of the week, so then you're not going to get any more. So the Mishnah Berurah makes this point in the second line. In my edition, the standard edition, he says, "Hainu dafke besadu kedome da melacha ktsuva ve'efshalashlima b'chaleis." He could do it during college football time, or he could do it during pro football time. De'ein revach liYisrael mashaosa on Yehudi b'Shabbos. So then the Jew is not gaining. Whether he decides to work on Shabbos or whether he decides to work on Sunday, it's not going to make a difference to the Yehudi. Dimlo yasayom, yasenu b'yom acher. If he's not going to do it today, that necessary work he'll do on a Sunday. Also, mina d'daita nafshi of it. Avo be merchatz v'rechayim. But if we're talking about merchatz and rechayim, d'amalocha einak tzuva v'chol yom revach la'atzmo. Then every day, if you work, the more you work, the more you're going to make. So then, in such a case, then la yavse yom echad yavse yisrael osa yom imkain ikar amalocha b'shvul yisrael hu umidina aser. So it needs to be spelled out that what we're talking about is a very particular case of arisus. Now these halachos come out thanks to the Dirshu Mishneh Brura, even when we're not learning bi'iyun and being masik shmeitz aliba de hilchasa, the Dirshu Mishneh Brura often gives us a couple of good halacha lemaisa examples. Obviously we can't paskin based on this because this is just from out of you know, three or four lines of quoting, but he quotes from the quote from Ramesha Feinstein in Ramesha's Tshuva, a very practical application to these halachos. A quote from Ramesha in Chelek Dalet Simin Nud Gimel that if a guy does melacha liYisrael b'schirus, and the Jew then gives the guy a little bit of the revach. In other words, not only is he an Arus, on Shabbos you're going to give him a little bit from the Revach, we're going to see in a Mishneh Berurah shortly, then it could be Mutter in all instances. Dahainu. We just said that there is a Din Arus if, only if it's Adaita Denavshe David, and we described the parameters earlier. What happens if you make the guy also the Balabayas? If you make the guy also the Balabayas, then you could resuscitate Adaite de Nafshe Yavid even when there is a daily Harvacha. That we will see first in the Mishneh Berurah, and then I will quote it to you. I'll show you where Ramesha Feinstein is getting it from, and then I'll read you what Ramesha says. Continuing on, the Mishneh Berurah says, V'kivan de Medina Aser. The first word on line is Dematir Laharambam. It's towards the end of the line. The last word on line is Afil. V'kivan de Medina Aser Afil Nisparsim Shischar Lashana V'gamu Chutzatchum De Ein Bo Mishum Marisayin Gamkein Aser. So even if you're taking care of the problem of Marisayin, if it's not a case where it's obvious that the guy is Adaitid and Avshi of it, then in such a case it's going to be Aser. V'ein Heter. Ein heter is actually a big heter. Ve'ein heter, and there isn't a heter, kim heicha diyesh le'ein yehudi tzas chelek berevach hashabasos, to oz amrinan da'adayte denafshe ovid, umuter berechayim gam emerchatz v'mokam shenisparasem adover. If you remove the problem, marasayin, so then the moment in which the goy gets a revach, then it's adayte denafshe. What's the pshat? The pshat is as follows. If you have a case of where it's not entirely adaita dinafshe, because the Jew is getting the revach, but now you've made the guy also someone who gets the revach on Shabbos, so the guy is now doing it adaita dinafshe. He's doing it for himself. The moment in which the guy is doing it for himself, then it's mutter. In other words, there isn't an iser from getting money that was made by a Gentile on Shabbos. The iser is to have hanah from money that the guy did on your behalf on Shabbos. That's what the Ramo is emphasizing. Ramo says, Adaita dinafshe of it. The moment in which it's Adaita dinafshe, so then in such a case it's mutter. Hence, Ramesha is quoted saying, Afilu nachri osa melacha liYisrael b'schirus, shim nosen lenachri chelek berevachim shel Shabbos, yesh lahakel bazeh. Then in such a case, one could be makel, based on these concluding lines. So the critical factor over here is whether the guy is adaita dinafshe. Obviously, these are dvarim ha'omdim b'yisodo shel Shabbos. These are, you know, these shilas get involved with multi-million dollar deals and many, many complicated issues in Hilchos Shabbos, which is beyond our capability to deal with in a daily Mishneh Berurah. But at the end of the day, this is the Yisod. If you could construct a way in which the Goy is Adaita Denafshe of it, so then in such an instance, it would be mutter. And Rav Moshe says, even in the case of schirus, it will be mutter if the Nachri is doing to Malacha Yisrael b'schirus. As he's being entirely a helping hand, just a hired hand, nevertheless, in such a case, it would be mutter as well. There is a question, how much revach does the guy have to get? Could you do something like it's a token thing? Or does it have to be more significant? So here they also quote, the Noda B'Yehuda's matir, even with a token pruta, that the moment in which the guy gets a little bit more, then that's going to be enough. That's what the Noda B'Yehuda says. However, the Chassam Sofer says that doesn't make sense, because what do we say when it comes to our resus? We said that the halacha is that it's going to be asur by our resus. We said our resus is going to be asur, even if he's getting a shlish, a reva, a chule, he's getting that much. So he's getting that much, that's not enough to be matir. It has to be a real adaita de nafshek. So argues the Chassam Sofer, in such a case you would need more. Okay, so Ezer Hashem will stop over here. So you get